Dubai Eye
103.8. The conversation that we've been having already on the show today is with regards to the plight of wildlife species the world over. Yep, a big focus on the bushfires down in Australia. But we want to take it a bit further and talk about species here in the UAE and other parts of the world for that matter. Humans are encroaching on animal habitats. I think that goes without saying, be that in terms of developments, be that in terms of destruction of resources. And we're asking, has it gone too far? And do we need to do more to coexist? Since you've been receiving a number of text messages, a number of thoughts, a number of comments on this subject, and of course the Australian bushfires already. Give us a flavour of those.
Yes, Sean got in touch to say fire doesn't discriminate. That's a lot of species killed. Just horrible, the distress they all faced in their last moments. Excuse me. Samir also texted in to 4001 saying, and these are just the animals we can easily see. Add to that the animals like small lizards, mice, baby birds. The full list of species and their death toll numbers is just staggering. And Lindsay also texted into 4001 saying the habitat destroyed, especially in Tasmania, where regions housing unique species that have never really been subject to wildfires due to their cold climate have just been wiped out. Climate change is the root of all this.
I'm going to introduce the panel in just a few moments' time. Before that, though, we're going to hear from Professor Chris Dickman down in Australia. He's been reported within the last 24 hours of suggesting that as many as, get this, a billion animals could be lost as a result of the bushfires. Very difficult to put a number on things at the moment. Suggestions that 480 million species have been affected already, or 480 million animals of all species have been affected already. It could rise as much as a billion if the bushfires are not brought under control sooner rather than later. Let's just hear from the professor and then we'll get the thoughts of the panel.
Rain has finally fallen on some of the many fires burning across Australia. The massive bushfires have burnt 6 million hectares of land and claimed more than 20 lives in an unprecedented crisis, which experts have warned is set to get worse. For Australia's wildlife, the projected death toll is in the billions.
It would be over a billion. It's hard to say how much over a billion, but over a billion for sure. Just looking at the fires in Victoria, 1.2 million hectares of Victoria has burned. And if you extrapolate using the average densities that we have for New South Wales, and that's probably a reasonable assumption to take, then we're probably looking at a billion for just New South Wales and Victoria alone. By the time you've added in the other states that have been subject to the wildfires, it would be certainly over a billion.
The fires, which are burning in all six Australian states, have destroyed hundreds of homes and laid waste vast swathes of bush and forest, killing and displacing the animals that live there.
There won't be very much food, if any, for them to eat. There won't be any shelter. Their habitats will have gone, and they'll be moving about in a very open landscape where they're prone to predation. So they might survive the fire, and they might survive several days post-fire, but they'll be progressively searching harder and longer for resources.
It's obviously a story that has affected not just Australians in Australia or, of course, the diaspora of Australians the world over. It has affected millions of individuals who've found it difficult to watch the footage and, of course, try and quantify the numbers. So we brought together this panel, A, to talk about that and, of course, to talk about factors and issues closer to home. That panel includes a friend of the show, Jocelyn McBride, the founder of B-Bus, a former InXS tour bus that now tours the UAE to educate people about the importance of bees. Always lovely to see you. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Great to be here again. Thank you.
Alongside you is Jennifer Crowes, who's the Associate Director of Conservation and Conservation Education, Emirates Nature WWF. So I'm getting my conversations and my conservations all mixed up. Great to see you, Jen.
Good morning. Well, we need conversations in conservation, don't we?
Conversation, conservation, preservation. There we are. We'll get all the Asians in today. And alongside you, wildlife expert who's built a career looking after zoos around the world, Mr. Tim Husband joins us live in the studio. Tim, bless you. Thanks for being with us here live in the studio.
Not a problem, mate.
Timbo, you've just come back from Australia. We spoke on the phone earlier on this week. You've come back, flown back. You went down there to try and protect your farm, your property down there, those of your family as well. You've come back here. You've been inundated with calls from the media to give you a bit of insight into what you found down there. Try and quantify to us what you saw whilst you were down there in Australia. Was it more than you've seen before?
Far more. In fact, I was thinking about getting a T-shirt printed up saying, "I don't fear hell, I've been back to Australia."
Wow.
It can't be put into pictures. It can't be put into words. You have to see it to believe it. And when you can't see more than 10 metres in front of you because the smoke is so thick, and when you're coughing in the afternoon and you're coughing up black because of the smoke, you then realise how bad this really is. And it moves so quickly. As soon as it hits the grasslands, because they're so dry, you can't outrun it. When it hits the eucalyptus forests, because of the eucalyptus oil in the trees, you just watch trees explode.
Mm.
It's fascinating and scary, and I just don't have words for it. Your heart goes out to everyone there because everyone's doing their best. All the local farmers are working together. The people that live in the cities are funding and sending food and water out there to the firefighters, the volunteers that are working just flat out 24 hours a day. And it's beyond words. I can't express how sad it is at the moment. I've never seen anything like this.
The destruction is one thing, but as you and I spoke earlier on this week, bushland, bush ground has an amazing capacity to bounce back as well from fires. The human loss, goes without saying, is very, very tragic. And we're running at about, 24, but many people still missing. The loss of wildlife, this is what I want to get from a man that's worked with wildlife all his life. Again, I mean, I feel so silly reading out these numbers because they seem to change all the time. There's no way we can tell at the moment how much of wildlife has been lost, is there?
That's right. Those are what we call guesstimates. We know how many mammals, birds and reptiles we can find in, say, 1 acre, and we work out the average from that. But those numbers of 500 million, it's going to be way over that because we're not counting things like the insects, which are the beginning of the animal food chain. We're not counting fish, because the ash falling in the water and the fish are suffocating, or the amphibians, the frogs and the tadpoles that are in those areas that are just dying off. We don't count that. And we're talking about native animals just alone, yeah. But then there's all the domestic animals that have disappeared as well. And this is going to keep on going, and there's ramifications from this, because normally after a fire, because the feed has been destroyed, you'll find a lot of kangaroos will be feeding along the side of the roads. And this is when you get road deaths. You get hit by cars, and the numbers will increase. Kangaroos especially will find their way more into the urban areas looking for food. So it's going to have a flow-on effect for many, many years. And some species of animals just will not bounce back.
Going to get more thoughts from the panel in a few moments' time. Interesting, we were talking about the insect population. We've got a bee expert in the studio. Also, all those other species that have been affected. We've got the team from Emirates Nature, WWF, also with us here today. We're talking about the Australian bushfires. We're giving you a heads up of what you can do to help in your own little way. I got my mind set.
This is The Agenda with Tom Urquhart.
Where opinions matter.
On Dubai Eye 103.8.
A trio of wildlife experts with us here in studio. And at the moment we are talking, well, there's only one story for us to focus on at the moment. It is the bushfires in Australia that have destroyed so much in their wake and caused so much heartache for residents and, of course, wildlife lovers in Australia.
This animal lover lost the kangaroo sanctuary she helped build over 16 years.
There was so much smoke and fire, and I didn't think there was going to be any alive.
Only 22 kangaroos have returned to Runnyford since the bushfire. Some are dehydrated.
I've just been running around trying to get water everywhere, but we've got no running water.
Others have severe burns.
This is Honey. She hasn't received medical treatment yet, and she's in critical condition.
These were the terrifying scenes captured by Ray Harvey as she was evacuated by boat on New Year's Eve.
I think you've lost your house.
Yeah.
I think we're all going to lose our house.
That's our property on fire right now.
I didn't think we were going to be saved. I thought we were going to burn alive. And as we were leaving the property, the area we were sheltering in was on fire.
That's just one of millions of cases, and one that we are reflecting on at the moment, the impact that the fires, the bushfires, are having on human and wildlife communities alike. Jocelyn McBride is the founder of BeeBus. Jocelyn, interested to get your take here. We heard there from Tim Husband, who's alongside us as well, about, we're getting a lot of footage out at the moment about, you know, the koalas, the kangaroos, the domestic animals, etc., with good reason as well. But we haven't even thought about the sort of insect community in its nature at the moment, but also what they will feed on and pollinate in the future. Will it have a big impact?
It will certainly have a very significant impact, and not just for the insects themselves, because what are they going to feed on? There's nothing there to feed on. And if the insects aren't there pollinating the crops, what's going to bloom? If the insects aren't there, what are the birds, the amphibians, the snakes, the higher other animals in the food chain, what are they going to live on? So this will have a huge knock-on effect for not just this season, but potentially forever. So until we can actually try and achieve a balance here. And in the middle of this, of course, you have native beekeepers in Australia whose businesses have been destroyed.
Yeah.
I know a few who've lost their homes, their whole businesses. So it's a whole industry regarding all of this that has also been depleted and will need long-term assistance and support.
Not just for the bee community, but also for, as you said, the beekeeper community. Because you're somebody who's worked tirelessly to help increase the bee community here in the UAE and further afield. As you mentioned there, colleagues down in Australia, when you see your sort of life's work destroyed in one fell swoop, it must be so devastating to an individual.
I think the families, and most of these are a lot of family businesses that have been devastated either by losing crops, herds, beehives, whatever their industry are. These are real families, real people, and the nature and the impact on nature is catastrophic. This is something that this touches every part of Australia, every part of their ecology and every part of their economy. And its devastation should not be underestimated as something that is just happening this year.
Jennifer Crowes, Associate Director for Conservation Education at Emirates Nature, WWF. What can we do about it?
I know, it's staggering, isn't it? Well, we can all do something about it. I think what we're all finding out here is that whilst it's happening on the other side of the world, in my own home country, it's devastating, we need to start taking stock of our general impact and living a more sustainable lifestyle. I mean, it's very easy to say, but there is a direct correlation with the impact that's having right now in Australia around climate change. So we do need to see climate action. We need to see climate leadership. But moreover, I think we need to individualise this as well. We can't just keep on pointing the fingers. We need to take it back into our homes and say, well, what can we do? And there's so much we can do, even irrespective of whether you're living in Dubai or in Melbourne or in Sydney or in Paris. You know, we need to start thinking, what are we doing? Why are we so out of balance? Why are we so disconnected from nature and the beauty and the resources that it gives?
We are being inundated with text messages at the moment, zines, a lot of people asking what they can do to help. Also, a lot of people asking for us to re-mention the Facebook group that you mentioned a little bit earlier on as well.
Yes, it's called Animal Rescue Craft Guild, and we interviewed Caroline Lloyd from 2 Feet for Paws. They are a drop-off point. They've got branches in Dubailand and Jumeirah. I can privately send you their numbers. And of course, a number of other sort of messages. This one from Roberto saying, good morning. My name is Roberto, resident in Dubai since 2006. So glad to hear the radio support to the bushfires in Australia. But the Amazon's burning for more than 30 days last October, November, with worse flora, fauna and global negative effects that the Australian fires. Dubai, I remained ignoring the disaster. Actually, Roberto, we did have a panel discussion on the Amazon forest fires. Late last year. I can send you the podcast, and if anyone else is interested, I can send them the podcast. And of course, it's a very unfortunate incident. We did not ignore it.
Indeed, and that's why we're not ignoring exactly what's going on at the moment. Jennifer, does it take, and no one wants to say, does it take tragedies, but does it take tragedies like this to make people realise the impact that we're having at the moment?
Oh, that's a hard question. I'm starting to wonder what it will take in order for us to take action. Because as Roberto was saying, you know, we've had the Amazon fire, we've had the California fires, we are currently having there's a flood in Jakarta. There's so many things happening and still we seem to turn a blind eye. The answer is, I think tragedy doesn't necessarily spur us on until it happens to you, until it actually becomes so visible to your own impact. Like, I think a lot of people in Australia who didn't really know the extent of climate change, for example, are really taking a good hard look, I'm sure, under the current circumstances they're facing. But, you know, just on that note, the impact of the fires right now in Australia is triple Amazon. So it's basically the Amazon and California, and one particular fire in the Gosper Mountain Range is the equivalent of seven Singapores. So that just gives you some context in terms of you know, being able to visualize how big just one fire is. Then you multiply that by the hundreds that are taking place around the continent. So I'm hoping that as a result of this, we are all going to wake up globally, not just in Australia, to say, okay, it is time. Because if we don't do something now, I honestly don't know what this is going to mean for the survival of not just animal species or wildlife species, but us as a species, our ability to evolve as a human species.
Tim, I must get your thoughts before we go to the news headlines on another news story. Maybe I'm picking on you, so feel free to jump in. But one thing that a lot of focus has been on is this news line that's come out about the plight, the supposed or possible plight of 10,000 camels down in Australia. 10,000 camels are at risk of being culled, basically, in the drought-ravaged region after complaints that the thirsty animals are endangering locals as they desperately search for water. I mean, again, for those that are looking in around the world and as CNN and other news sources pick up on these and sort of blast them out and go, what is going on? This is obviously an outrageous decision. Tragic times or desperate times, does that demand desperate measures as well?
Yes and no. I mean, you're probably asking the wrong person because camels or camelids are my least favourite of all animals.
They're one of mine.
The camels actually were introduced to Australia, so they're not a native.
Right, okay. And
I'm a firm believer that animals that have been introduced to an ecosystem that aren't native really don't belong there. It's humans that have put them there. It's humans' job to fix the problem that they've created.
Mm.
We used camels to open up the outback area, but as soon as we had road and rail, we did the wrong thing. We just released them into the wild. And in fact, coming just recently from Saudi and talking to some of the people there, they realized that the Australian camels are some of the fastest camels in the world.
Mm.
That's because we shoot them and the slow ones get shot. So the fast ones get away.
Mm.
And so they know that we've got really good camels and that the camel there, population there, is a very historic breed of camel.
Mm.
So there are some people in this side of the world that are very interested in importing camels from Australia. It just needs both governments to talk together and to work out some sort of plan.
That's interesting, isn't it, Jennifer? Because that's one of the suggestions that we've had from a number of listeners already today, saying, bring them over here, we'll have them over here. But I suppose at the moment, given the time frame that we're talking about and the problems that are being faced by the residents in these particular areas, these are desperate times.
These are desperate times. I mean, whether or not that's the answer, I think that's a much bigger conversation to be had. As per Tim, you know, there is definitely a history with camels due to invasive collections. But I think even bringing them here brings it down to from a local problem. You know, we're not immune to possible catastrophes. So if we were to bring 10,000 over to the region, we also have water security concerns. So it doesn't, you know, taking away from one country doesn't necessarily fix it. So, you know, it's not a band-aid solution. We need to think about the bigger picture and holistically come up with actions that tackle the global problem that is, you know, how do we look after the environment? How do we live in harmony with it?
Feeling contentious? Want to add some context? Have your say and join the conversation on The Agenda.
You know, on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Habitat encroachment increases the contact between human populations and, of course, animal and wildlife populations. Shrinking habitat and accessible sources of food from expanding urban and suburban land use have brought animals and humans into conflict.
We're in their habitat. That's where we're recreating all these open space areas.
He wandered from the trees, disoriented and thin. The young koala got a drink and a lift from a truck driver. Wildlife in the fire zone, where animals face an unprecedented threat.
Sadly, that leaves whole populations almost devoid of any members.
Police divers leaving Esperance to head out to sea, searching for the body of a man mauled by a shark. Locals say the town is full of holidaymakers, including plenty of surfers and divers.
Tens of thousands of angry bees had invaded a home there, putting much of the neighborhood on edge, but the bees have now been removed.
Problem with this beehive? Is it ran out of room. Once the beehive runs out of room, it gets angry and mean.
We're in their habitat. That's where we're recreating all these open space areas. And that's where a lion should be.
As we get more people moving out into the woods, recreating in the woods, where we're just bound to have additional conflicts, I think that's going to continue so long as our population's growing.
And Jocelyn McBride is the founder of Bee Bus. Jennifer Crowes is the Associate Director, Conservation Education at Emirates Nature Worldwide Fund, the WWF. Also, Tim Husband, also with us here, wildlife expert here in the region. All three giving their thoughts with us on this subject. So let's start with you, Jocelyn, as well. The suggestion being that we are encroaching on animal habitats or vice versa. Have we crossed that line now?
Well, when you live in great cities like Dubai that are ever growing, ever changing, we're moving further out into the desert landscape, it's inevitable that these various animals are going to cross paths with us. And there are going to be clashes where we get calls all the time. Is it bees, first of all? And secondly, can you take them away anyway? And that is the default response. But I do think there is a strong argument for a lot of education here and a lot of participation where we can educate how we can work alongside and create safety corridors for animals. We can look and defining certain areas that are protected and just educating our children about what is harmful, what can we just leave alone and let be, and when is it time to kind of go, oh, perhaps we should call in an expert.
Yeah. Talking of experts, we've got three of them here in studio. Jocelyn is one of them. Jennifer is alongside you. Jennifer, again, has it gone too far? I mean, let's bring it back here to Dubai, or the UAE as a whole, obviously an area that you focus on. Plenty of development ongoing at the moment. We seem to be, whereas times where we went higher and higher and higher, now we're going wider and wider and wider. Are we crossing over now?
I definitely think that we're at a precipice of needing to take some serious action around development management. For example, I was just talking amongst ourselves that, you know, yesterday as I was on my way to Abu Dhabi, just on the near Ibn Battuta Mall, for example, which is quite highly developed, I saw five gazelles just roaming around, not in any kind of desert patch, just literally sort of trying to cross a road. Now, that is indicative, obviously, of human-wildlife encroachment, also some human-wildlife conflict. So we need to start to really think about the impact we're having when it comes to development and just general consumption and demands for that, but also learn how to coexist with wildlife. And I think that is really a bigger conversation to have because, you know, we are expanding wider and higher, but there it comes at a cost. And living in the UAE, you realize how many beautiful species call this place home. And unless you've had the privilege to see it, like all of us here, you really don't connect with it. And so that's why education and awareness is absolutely key.
Tim, I mean, this ain't anything new, is it? It's been going on since the age of time, of so say. But again, do we need to be conscious now of those lines at the moment, those lines being crossed more often now?
Yeah, we do need to be conscious of those lines. And you're right, this has happened since man started building villages. We encouraged animals to come in. We domesticated some of these animals. So we've always encroached. The problem is that every time we think we've gone too far, the line gets moved again.
Okay.
And we allow that to happen. The thing is, us as human beings one day have to wake up and say, enough's enough. I mean, Dubai is ideal because Dubai is on the migratory route of a lot of birds, especially. that each year they're coming through and the habitat is being changed. Mm. When you think about it, you know, 100 years ago, this had a Arabian leopards walking through it.
Yeah.
I mean, when was the last time you saw one walking through Dubai? I mean, this is what happens. We encroach, we develop, we push these animals away, and eventually when we lose the whole species, then we panic. And we always say, in hindsight, we should have done this. Well, that doesn't work anymore.
Mm.
I mean, we have to wake up. And you're right, it is part of the whole world. The whole world has to get together. Global warming is a big thing, but we have to learn that we can't keep on saving animals in zoos or safaris. We've got to be able to set aside immense areas of land, whole countries or islands that humans have got to leave alone. And then we can start putting these animals back in that are held in these arcs, these zoos. We can put the gene pools back in, allow them to start developing again. And this will take a whole 360 in the way we think. The people have to wake up and say, let's get moving before it's too late.
Get social and join the conversation.
Find Dubai Eye 103.8 on Facebook and Instagram.
Back to our all-star animal panel in just a few moments' time. Zina Zellermeyer is trying to work through something of a wave of emotion and text messages.
GID Green in Dubai says people are using big polluting SUVs here without realizing the damage we're causing to the climate. Can you please send me the Facebook link of Caroline for saving the animals in Australia? We spoke to Caroline earlier. Done, Mona. I've just done that. And can you explain, this is from Tom Hanley, can you explain how climate change started these bushfires?
I can't, but thankfully we've got a cast that can. Tim, Jennifer, Jocelyn, who wants to explain climate change to us? Oh, go, Tim.
We can both go.
I'll give it a go. Look, it has a roll-on effect. With the climate change, the planet is getting warmer and warmer. In Australia, especially this last winter that we went through, we got less rain.
Hmm.
Now, this less rain made the undergrowth of these forest areas or these bush areas very brittle and dry. And without this rain to keep things moist, it just became a tinderbox. And all it really needed was a couple of good lightning strikes to start the fires. And it just blossomed from there.
Yeah. Jennifer?
Well, similar. I think, you know, as a result of climate change, the drought that has obviously occurred in Australia has been one of the factors that has made this so bad, just because there is just nothing that has been able to grow normally. It's just so dry that literally one tinder can just take it all up. But I think there is still that notion that the fires are a direct relation to climate change. It is definitely a number of factors that have taken at play over a number of years, and taking no action has led to this right now. Mm. And I think the skepticism of climate change in existence now really has been proven is not the case. You know, it's there. And it's going to, if it's not going to be in Australia, where next?
Can we use, Jocelyn, the excuse of ignorance any longer?
I think the days of claiming that you don't know are long gone. Everybody realises that there are certain actions at work here, and we have a responsibility as an individual and as participants of one of these 8 billion species that we share this planet with to educate ourselves, get out there, get into nature and appreciate it for what it is, because unless you have a deep love for what is happening around you with the animals, the plants and nature, nothing concrete will ever really change. But we have to engage now. Companies have to engage. Individuals have to engage. Education has to engage. All levels of society have to come forward and step forward.
So then I wonder, and this is something I'm going to ask all three of you, is whether we get more traction. Is one of the ironies here that you get more traction by speaking to school groups, to kids, to younger generations these
Absolutely,
days? Is there
yes.
a sense that, you know, our heads are stuck in the sand the older we get?
What I love about the youth of the UAE and other young people I've worked with is that they get it. They don't need to see the grey shades and the nuances. They get that there is an issue. They get that they are partially responsible for it. And they also understand that they have small individual personal changes to make to start this, moving the needle back forward in favour of the planet.
Mm. Jennifer?
Well, I agree with you. Here at Emirates Nature WWF, we've just launched a program targeted at youth aged 15 to 30 called Connect with Nature to inspire and motivate them to actually literally reconnect with nature. So taking them out there and explore, but also have their voices heard to encourage them to contribute to dialogues such as through youth circles and match lists, to then be able to take part in discussions that need to be heard at a higher level. And it's true, there is an appetite and a desire. They just need to be given the chance and a platform to do so. So I do encourage all the youth that are listening today to visit us at connectwithnature.ae as the website, and to download the app and join us. Be part of this movement. You can be the change, and you can be a sustainable leader to encourage your community to make a difference.
Tim, do you get more intelligent questions from school kids than you do from CEOs?
Definitely. You actually get. You don't get any questions from CEOs. And I'm a firm believer that my generation has totally destroyed this planet, and we should all hang our heads in shame. Mm. I honestly believe that we, in the zoo atmosphere or safari atmosphere, that their job is to educate the kids, because you never know that one kid in the group who one day grows up to be the head of a board or has got the right to make a decision about a big plot of land, if they've remembered something or you've touched them and they feel something about nature, they may be the one to turn over a decision to destroy a big piece of land or be the one to make a decision about saving a specific species.
Mm. On The Agenda, we love speaking to the outspoken.
This is your chance to join the conversation.
Text 4001
or message us for free on the Dubai Eye 103.8 app.
Tim Husband is a wildlife expert here in the UAE. He has built a career looking after zoos and safaris. His farm was damaged by the wildfires. He's just returned here from Australia to the UAE. Jennifer Crowes is the Associate Director of Conservation Education at Emirates Nature WWF. And Jocelyn McBride, she's the bee lady. She's the founder of Bee Bus. You might have seen it out there on the roads of the UAE, educating people about the importance of bees and what they do for ecosystems and larger systems the world over. All three have been kind enough to stay with us to address a couple of other issues. The reason we've asked them to stay is because one thing we haven't talked about is recent sightings. Zina Zelame, you've put together something of a hit list from listeners that have got in touch with us and said, you never believe what I saw today.
I know it's everywhere. It's on social media. But as our wildlife experts said, you know, they're happening all the time. But this is the one that's just in the news. In 2018, November, potentially lethal redback spiders on the rise in the UAE, as reported. Venomous spiders commonly found in Australia and Asia, now found in the Emirates. In October 2019, there was an Indian expat who, while walking his dog, spotted a deadly snake, a viper, rather short-tempered, and it was really big in the news at the time. And in November, two sightings, one in Jumeirah Park, actually a number of snake sightings, and in the same community, four-legged species, foxes. And we've also got a tweet from Jamie Wilkes. He said, Jamie Wilkes, of course, is the founder of House of Comms. So we found snakes in our garden in Dubai. Turns out they are the most rubbish snakes to exist that I didn't even know existed. To make it worse, they have two very rubbish names, introducing the flower pot snake, aka blind snake. So these are just some of the few documented sightings of wild animals and species that are in the desert. But a lot of you are saying that they've always existed.
Well, that's the point I want to put to Tim and the rest of the team. I mean, Tim, again, I go back to that point that they were here before us, weren't they?
Definitely. The foxes and the snakes were definitely here before us. The redbacks, of course, they've obviously hitched a ride in either someone's luggage or they've some sort of cargo. They obviously knew it's time to leave Australia.
It's another little gift you gave us. Yeah. Good on you.
But animals like foxes and snakes have always been here. And you go to any country in the world that's got foxes, especially the red fox, they survive so well in urban areas. They learn to hide during the day. At night, they come and steal food from rubbish bins or from your pet's own food bowl if you've left it outside. Yeah. So they do really well. Snakes, they'll also hitch rides on luggage, but they have always been here. And it's only because we're spreading out more that we're coming across them more often.
And Jocelyn, are we seeing more bee species coming in? I mean, are there specific species that are indigenous to here?
We have the fantastic Arabian dwarf bee, which is native to here, and it's very docile. Sometimes you can have it living in a tree in your garden or a bush in your garden and you won't notice it for months, and then because it's so perfectly camouflaged, but it's really quite docile. And if you can, just leave it be, because it'll just go about its normal everyday business. There are a lot of imported bees that come in every year for the commercial honey industry. Some of them can be a bit more bad tempered. But if you're not sure, if you think you have an anaphylaxis risk, then of course it's better to get in touch with somebody, a local beekeeper, to try and remove them. I would ask anybody in these situations, whether it's a snake or whether it's anything like this, is to try and get them removed and rehomed rather than going straight to the exterminate option.
And I suppose that leads me on nicely to this next element, because we've talked a lot about, you know, the nasties and the bad stuff as well, Jennifer. But, you know, there are very positive stories coming out of here. One that struck me in what the last year or so was the Environment Agency down in Abu Dhabi announcing that, thanks to new technology, hidden digital cameras, they'd found the Indian crested porcupine and the sand fox, both spotted in remote areas, previously thought extinct, now found to be flourishing in parts of the desert. You know, so there are a lot of positives to be taken from the natural world here.
100%. I think, you know, we work directly with the Environment Agency Abu Dhabi and have definitely seen some success stories. And we do need to sort of focus on that as well, because it can't all just be doom and gloom, because if it was that way, we just need to give up. So, you know, the Arabian oryx is obviously a good news story that has come out of the UAE as well. We've done a lot of work in regards to the recovery of green turtles. So there is hope. And that's, I think, the message that we need to sort of also ring out to the general public, that it is still, we need to remain optimistic. There needs to be conservation optimism, because there is still a chance for us to make a difference if we all act now. And obviously that requires a massive commitment from all aspects across the spectrum, not just individuals, leaders. It requires funds, as you know, Tim, we've agreed on. But yeah, there are so many things to still be proud of, and there are success stories.
Dugongs in the water as
well. Yeah, dugongs, whale sharks. But, you know, at the end of the day, it isn't just climate change. It is also around the consumption of plastic. You know, I think if we're talking about what can we do, that's a different topic altogether. That requires another session.
And we'll get back into that. Don't worry about that.
But, you know, in terms of that, that's something that's happening all around the world. Yeah. So we might not necessarily feel the impact of the bushfires here right now, but that's not to say that we're not seeing the impact of our human activities here in our own backyard.
Jocelyn?
I think that humans are also very resourceful. I know now that we're facing huge issues, but now everybody's aware of them, and there's a lot of ingenious people out there, and I have a lot of respect for our future generations. The children are our future engineers, our scientists. You can see that they're really engaged with the topic, and these are going to be our future problem solvers. And you can tell that they want to grab the bull by both horns and they want to start resolving these issues. So for me, while there are very terrible stories coming out every single day, and quite rightly, they need to have focus put on them, I'm also quite confident that our next generation will be the ones who will take this challenge head on.
Yeah. And Tim, as well, just picking on a point you mentioned a little bit earlier on, you know, it's very easy when we look at, you know, some of the stories coming out globally, be it the Amazon, be it, of course, the bushfires in Australia. Point you made, you know, we talk often, don't we, about the geographical hub of the UAE, of Dubai, of the region as a whole. But yeah, we forget, it's been a migratory hub as well for a long, long time. And so we need to remain cognizant of that, the potential to enhance the populations of not just migratory birds, but a number of other species for the future is available to us.
This is right. We can't forget these animals that are migrating through Dubai. They've been doing it before humans were here. So we should also be setting aside land areas where these animals can stop and rest and then recover and then carry on with their migration. Some stay here for their whole time during the winter wherever they've come from, but others are just, this is just a stopover, similar to the Dubai airport. It's some come here to stay, some just doing a connecting flight out again.
Yeah.
And we've got to leave open areas where we can allow these animals to rest for a while and then move on.
again, just that point that we've been making. I mean, you're a man who's worked with wildlife throughout your entire career. Is it all doom and gloom? We've been a little bit negative throughout, with good reason as well, looking at some of the big stories. But do you see hope?
I want to see hope. I'm a firm believer that it's not going to happen in my lifetime, but that one day we won't need zoos or safari parks because we will have realized that we can leave the animals alone. 30 years ago, we didn't know anything about artificial insemination, embryo transplant. We've got the technology now. Imagine what it's going to be like in the future. We'll be able to save species with our technology. And the generation coming after us will be the ones that will save these species.
Yeah. Tim, really appreciate your time. Thanks so much indeed. If people want to get in touch with you on social media and those sort of things, or turn a blind eye to all that? Have a little think about that
they
one.
They can find me.
They'll find you somehow. In terms of obviously all things, in terms of staying in touch with you, Jennifer, and the rest of the organisation, how do people do that?
You can contact me at my email address, or you can just ring up Emirates Nature WWF. You can follow me on my Insta, Jennifer Crows. You can find me. I'm around. And obviously connectwithnature.ae. I think that's one way, a great portal that leads you to our team, and just be part of the movement. I encourage you. I look forward to seeing you there.
Yeah. And Jocelyn, finally to you. Where the bus?
Well, normally you can see a big yellow bus parading up and down through the UAE. But if you can't, yeah, you can get through our website, which is www.bbus.me. And please, get your children to jump on board the B bus and learn all about nature. If you don't want to do that, get out into nature. Go to the park, go out into the desert, have some fun, get close to these little critters which make up the rest of the planet.
Bless you. Really appreciate your presence this morning. In fact, all of your presence. Thanks for your time with us this morning. Thanks for all of your expertise. Thanks for all your efforts as well, your individual efforts to help species, animals, humans alike here in the region and further afield. So thanks very much indeed to our all-star panel.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.